This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. We bring to you head coach of the TCU baseball team. You can catch them at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. It is Kirk Sarlos. Good morning, sir.
What's going on, boys? Thanks for having me.
Did you already make sure that the roof will be closed for those games?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I mean, what great scheduling that we started the year out in San Diego.
Right.
We did not play last night, and we get to play indoors this weekend. So great scheduling.
Now, one of the things I was going to ask you about San Diego, and I know it's early and people are working things out and everything, but there was at least one game where y'all were able to draw an astonishing amount of walks. Do you credit early plate discipline, or are you like, maybe not everyone from all the teams is into form yet?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to, I think we hit 11 home runs on the weekend. So, Whew. You know, us pitchers kind of, you know, sometimes are a little bit timid of the strike zone when you're getting hit around a little bit. So I think there's the good thing about the offense was there was discipline, but there was also aggressiveness, you know. So I think, you know, they kind of go, we struck out a little bit more than we wanted to, but that happens when you go deep in counts. And but yeah, we had a lot of walks and a lot of homers, which, you know, I like one swing runs. Those are fun.
Hey, Kirk, last week we got to talk to your buddy Slosh as they played last week at the Globe, University of Texas. And we were talking to him quite a bit about kind of the new rules in baseball going forward, the 11.7 scholarships. He said the SEC next year will go to 25 scholarships in baseball. Has the Big 12 do you already know how many scholarships are going to be for baseball in the Big 12?
No, it's all based on what each individual program or school is going to do. And so, you know, there's a lot of moving parts with, you know, these new rules of being, you're able to go up to 34 full rides, but you can't just say, okay, let's add 23 scholarships, because the scholarships are still under the Title IX kind of blanket. So if you add 23 baseball scholarships, you have to add 23 female scholarships. So there's a lot of, and each school is different in terms of how many varsity sports that they have. Like, we're, you know, a private school that has a little bit smaller of a athletic program in terms of total sports. So when we add, you know, X amount of scholarships on the male side, you have to do the same on the female side. So, you know, I think it's going to be, for us, it's going to be more of a slow build in terms of us getting to that full 34, you know, and the revenue share is going to be a piece of that. So there's a lot of moving parts. And I think most schools are trying to figure out what are other schools that are in your conference doing, you know, that, like the SEC said, you know, hey, well, the most you can go to next year is 25 full rides. And, you know, the Big 12 hasn't stated a cap on anything. They're just letting every school kind of figure out what they want to do.
TCU's been very competitive in baseball for a long time now, and I was wondering what the challenges are with NIL, because TCU, it cost a whole bunch of money to go there. Let's just say, a public school in Texas is going to cost
$83,000.
Yeah, a public school is going to cost approximately $20,000 to $30,000, like your Texas Tech to University of Texas type of situation. So, how tough is it for you with a limited amount of scholarships and now this NIL money to convince parents to pay that money to TCU while maybe another school is like, well, it only costs this much to go there?
Yeah, sure. So, when we try to go out and raise NIL dollars, that's the first thing I try to let our fans and our supporters know is for every $1 Texas or Texas A&M or Texas Tech raises in NIL, we have to raise $4 just to keep pace, just because of, it's $83,000 to go to TCU. It's, all in, which at Texas or Texas Tech, it's, probably $22,000-$25,000 all in. And so, what we're trying to do is combat, we only get 11.7 scholarships. So that's, let's just say 12 guys are on a full ride, which we don't have 12 full rides. We kind of spread it out amongst a ton of guys, but let's just say we had 12 guys on full scholarships. That means we have 28 guys left over that we got to try to figure out how do we get that 83,000 down to a more digestible number. And so the NIL thing has been huge, not just for us, but for all schools to try. And the problem with college baseball is that it's, if you're in football or in basketball, you get full rides. In baseball, you get partials. So that's where NIL has stepped up big time in terms of trying to, bridge the gap in terms of how much guys have to pay. So, for us, it's difficult, but you kind of get what you pay for. TCU is a pretty awesome place to come, not just from an athletic standpoint, but also from academic standpoint as well.
Now, you guys are just a couple years removed from College World Series appearance. Does this change? I'm guessing the answer is no, but I want to check. Does this change expectations? Do you still go into every season as kind of a Omaha or bust mindset, or is that not the case?
Yeah, I mean, every year, the first meeting of the year, a lot of teams talk about going to Omaha. A lot of teams talk about trying to win a national championship, but only, a handful of teams can actually do it. And for us, the expectation is that we're going to end up, in June in Omaha. And so, but part of, the main thing with that is having guys not look into the future, but trying to figure out how to get better every single day. And that it'll just be a byproduct by the time June rolls around. But our expectation for sure is to play deep into the summer and be in Omaha in June.
Do you think every single player on your team right now could name all of the teams currently in the Big 12? Because obviously we've been switching things around quite a bit.
No chance.
Well,
I don't think so. I would say half of them would know. Half of them would not know, and I probably would say most of the incoming, freshmen would be the guys that probably don't, just because they haven't been to football games or basketball games or been in our conference. And but yeah, I don't think so. I mean, shoot, half the time I don't even know who's in our conference.
I was thinking about quizzing you. I'm gonna leave that be for right now. But I thought about it.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even know how many teams are in our conference.
That's fair.
Yeah, because some have baseball, some don't.
Iowa State doesn't have baseball. Yeah. Colorado doesn't have baseball. So there's two, minus two from the Big 12, which actually isn't the Big 12. It's like the Big 16. So it's like how many teams are actually in our conference. Sometimes I don't know.
Kirk Sarlos, head coach of TCU, joining us. By the way, when you're talking about going out to San Diego, I hope I have this right. Isn't Skip Schumacher's son a senior in high school coming to TCU?
He is. He's Skip's lives out there. Who's actually now, he's part of the Rangers organization. Yeah. And his kid is he's a junior, he wouldn't be here for a couple years. But I don't even know if I'm legally able to speak about him openly.
Oh, sorry.
In the public.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Sorry, Kurt. Sorry. I heard him on the Foul Territory podcast or one of the podcasts, and they were talking about how good his son is and that. I guess we'll just say possibly going to TCU. So sorry about that, Kirk. When it Don't worry,
Mike. You're good.
I promise I'll ask questions you're legally allowed to answer right. with players.
Let's go into more because you're going to be playing at the Globe Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Michigan and Arkansas and Kansas State. And that should be fun because, like you said, watching baseball right now outside. Thank God my son was going to Austin this weekend to play in a high school baseball tournament and that got canceled. And I said, I love watching you play baseball, buddy, but I don't love watching 30-degree weather baseball. So.
No chance. Yeah. And wind chill even lower than that. Like, that's not baseball weather.
No, I know. So when you're recruiting, and I know that, like, you have a job. You guys are playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's no way you can go watch high school kids play this weekend. Where is a lot of the recruiting when is a lot of the recruiting done for baseball? Because y'all's schedule is so tough to actually go see kids play high school baseball.
Yeah, especially, I mean, we're not allowed to go off campus to go watch any baseball in terms of recruiting until March 1st. So, and then usually, you know, the first couple of weeks of March is kind of tournament time, you know, for high schools. They're not in district yet. So there might be a day where there's some Monday and Wednesday games. Cause I mean, we're playing Tuesdays, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it makes it difficult to go watch games on those days. But when you're in kind of those tournaments and non-district stuff there, like I said, there's some days where we'll be able to get out and see high school baseball. But for the most part, I mean, you're doing a lot of your recruiting and watching baseball from, you know, June, July, and August. You know, that summer period is a big period in terms of, you know, because we're not playing anymore. And, you know, most kids are playing a ton of summer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
summer baseball. So that's when most of the recruiting is happening, is during that summer period.
Now, as I promised, I will ask about questions about players that are already on the roster as to not get you in trouble. I am curious. The excitement level seems fairly palpable with the incoming freshman group, Noah Franco. How are we feeling about the new players coming in and adding to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we threw 7 freshmen this past weekend. I think we had 3 guys position player wise that played. So we're relying a ton on that really good freshman class. It's a talented class, and you know, part of trying to figure out what you got is you got to play them. And so, you know, we've had a history of playing young guys and playing them early, just because, you know, with like we talked about earlier, $83,000 to come to TCU. I mean, we have to put more money into fewer players. So when we get a talented player, a talented freshman, we play him right away. And so after the first weekend, you're going to have your highs and lows with those young guys. And I think the big thing that we noticed was the moment wasn't too big, and they were able to, you kind of slow the game down and get it back to, you know, the feeling of, hey, it's baseball, you know, just because it's college baseball, it's no bigger than what you were doing the previous year in high school. It's just a little bit more magnified. And I thought they did a really good job of handling not only their emotions, but the situation. And I think they had a lot of success because of that.
Well, Kurt played 7 years in the major leagues. And I want to know the difference from your perspective on pitching in college versus pitching at a, let's say, a major league level.
Well, I think you get punished a lot more at the major league level for mistakes compared to college. You know, but I think the talent level is really, it's rising in the college game. You're seeing more, you know, you're seeing a lot more talented kids come to college than to go in the draft and go into minor league baseball. But I think, you know, for the most part, you know, like I said, I think, you know, you have, instead of having maybe 2 or 3 guys in a lineup in college, you know, that can really do damage, you have a full lineup of maybe 7 or 8 guys in pro ball that can do damage off you. So I think the biggest difference is just the amount of talent that you see up and down a lineup in professional baseball, and they don't miss their pitch. You know, when you make that mistake, they punish you. And I think in college, sometimes they foul it back, or they may take it or swing and miss. But like I said, it's the gap is really closing in terms of, you know, minor league baseball and college baseball. I think that gap is closing pretty quickly in terms of the talent.
What would you say when it comes to your college staff or facing other college staffs? Do you feel like the major league stuff is there in college, just the location isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of what you would say?
Yeah, I think it's consistency. You know, I mean, we had, you know, one of our starting pitchers was 95 to 99. You know, like everybody's throwing it 1 million miles an hour now. I think the difference is consistency and the ability to not throw it over the middle of the plate. And then also just the consistency of landing your secondary stuff, you know. And I think as you get older and as you, you know, have more reps, I think those things, you know, come with time. And I think that's kind of the biggest deal is, you know, at their best, it's just the same as a guy that's in professional baseball, but I think they're just at their best a little bit more often in professional baseball because most of the time they're, you know, 3, 4, 5 years older than what our guys are currently right now.
You got Michigan at 3 p.m. on Friday, Arkansas 6 p.m. Saturday, Kansas State 3 p.m. on Sunday. All of those are at Globe Life Field. You can buy tickets at globelifefield.com. Thank you very much for jumping on with us today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and Mike, didn't you used to call TCU baseball games back in the day?
I did in about 2010 through 2012. It was awesome. It was really good baseball.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I hope, you know, your listeners come out and watch. You know, Globe Life does a great job, Rev Sports, and they do a great job of having tournaments inside Globe Life pretty much the first month of the year, or first month of the college baseball season, and having tournaments and having a lot of great programs from all over the country. So if people are looking to watch some baseball and get indoors and warm up a little bit, come on out this weekend and watch us play.
Excellent stuff. Appreciate it very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Kirk.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Sarlos, soon to be investigated by the NCAA because of Mike Bassett.
Hey, dang it! Well,
as soon as he said that he thinks his kid might be a junior, and I was like, ooh, that means he's not signed. I don't know if that's going to be allowed. I think you're going to be fine.
TCU. Sorry, TCU.
I think you're going to be fine.
You got a great head baseball coach. He's a good guy, good coach. And, man, TCU has done such a great job. Just think how challenging that is. 11.7 scholarships.
Yeah.
$83K a year to go there. Texas, like for my daughter, is approximately $30K a year. And they have 11.7 and the NIL money they have. It does make it tough.
$4 for every $1 A&M or Texas raises in NIL money is what they need to keep up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm hoping...
It's a pizza party.
Okay.
Pizza places are open.
And Mike really wants pizza.
I want pizza from me. This is the last time you can ever buy me pizza.
He's already got cookies. If you want to send pizza, I know Mike would appreciate that as well.
Thank you, Brady and Alvarado.
Coming up next, who is the face of the NBA right now, and can it be an international player? Next, right here in The Fan.
It's Jones racing the other way. Vassell, Wembanyama, three.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is Mike's final day in studio.
This is it. Last day in Dallas.
We will be in Surprise next week covering spring training.
Gosh. It's over.
Where's the time gone, Mike?
It's over.
It's
in the past. The time's in the past.
My gosh. All right. So
let's reminisce here.
Okay. I had a topic for you.
Yeah. Okay. Say what you got to say. I'll maybe listen.
Okay. So Stephen A. Smith, we're going to go to cut number 8 in just 1 second, but he was discussing the idea that an international player cannot be the face of the NBA. So I kind of wanted to get some thoughts on who is the face of the NBA now? How many times has it been an international player? But first, listen to Stephen A.
My personal opinion is I don't believe an international player can be the face of the NBA. I know they're global iconic figures. Their popularity extends globally. But the NBA is an American-born sport. And it needs to resonate in America. And if it doesn't resonate in America, then it's not going to matter to America how you resonate beyond.
So... I guess first, what do you think about that? Because instantly people were, whether it's Wemby, whether it's Shea, there are very, obviously, Luka.
Do you consider Shea because he's Canadian?
That's a great question.
Steve Nash was Canadian. I don't think he was ever the face of the NBA, but was a premium part of the NBA.
Do you want to know a really fun, weird tease? At 1:30, we're going to have FC Dallas head coach Eric Quill on. He was recruited...
You didn't run that by me.
Okay. Well, it's going to happen.
Let's see.
He was recruited to replace Steve Nash at Santa Clara.
Okay.
Before he diverted more into soccer. But that's an interesting question, because when he says foreign player, does he just mean Wemby, Jokic, Luka? Does he mean Shea? Shea is technically not from America. So
but
I'm
I guess
curious
for
about
Shea,
that too.
I don't think he would include Shea, and here's the reason why. Because he went to Kentucky for a year.
Okay.
So he kind of took the route of, let's say, an American player. So maybe he's saying if you're North American, you can, because you'd have to take the route of playing, let's say, a year of college basketball, most likely. I get some dudes went overseas for a year, but
that immediately disqualifies
your best players in the NBA.
Luka, Jokic, Wemby, like
Giannis.
That you're talking about the best of the best. So what do you think about that concept? And then I want to know, have we had a face of the NBA that was an international player, and how many?
Are you defining face of the NBA as one player?
One face.
Then no, we never have.
And so that is interesting to me, too.
I would say right now the face of Major League Baseball is Ohtani, and it's thriving.
Agreed.
So I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith, but I get where he's coming from. I don't think it's a bad opinion at all, because he's seeing the NBA, and it's too strong of a word to say die, but he's seeing that they have a lack of relevancy right now.
Right.
The NFL has ended and the NBA is not picking up steam at all. It seems like very few people care about the NBA right now. Now, I guess they're hoping that in late April, when the playoffs start, it picks up tremendously. So he sees that Jokic is by far the best player. There's honestly nobody competing with him for the best player right now. But he's not the face of the NBA. Right. And if he is, then the NBA is really struggling. Well, who are the next guys in line? Well, you would say Shea or Giannis right now, today. And I'll include Shea as an American player.
Okay.
They have struggled. If you want to put Giannis as the face of the NBA for a second here or there, maybe you could. And so I would say probably the face of the NBA today is still LeBron. And LeBron's old news.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron has ran off a lot of fans.
So then,
over time.
Yeah.
And he's not great. He's not like the best player. He's not close to the best player anymore. He's like probably the 8th to 10th best player in the NBA.
So I'm trying to figure this out. Did it kind of run from, and if people want to argue anywhere in between, I'm here for that. Did it kind of go from Jordan to Shaq to Kobe to LeBron and Steph, if you want to go back and forth?
Yeah.
And that's kind of still where we're at now. Because there's not a lot of faces of the NBA if you're just taking one.
Golden State surprisingly won the championship in 22. I don't think anybody really saw that coming. It looked like a team fading, and they ended up coming back and winning. And since they won it, they've faded into non-relevancy in the NBA. So it's really tough, and so have the Lakers. So you look at your two old guys that their careers are coming to an end. They're not as good as they once were, and they're on teams that don't look like they're going to make playoff runs.
Yeah.
That's tough for the league. And so then you look at the prime guys, and you're like, probably, I guess the hope from Stephen A. Smith is, I didn't follow this interview at all, but maybe he was hoping Anthony Edwards. Then your problem is Minnesota.
Because that's not big. So I'm going to argue that, I hope this makes sense, winning makes you a big market. Okay. So like, I realize Golden State is big market adjacent, but they're not a humongous market. They became a big market because they won. I would argue it would probably take several titles, but Minnesota would become, strictly in the NBA, a big market if they rolled off a few titles, because people would be like, okay, well, that's the thing. That's the ticket.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I think it makes it tougher.
That's fair.
It makes it tougher for an Anthony Edwards if he becomes, you know, the face of the NBA. It makes it tougher in Minnesota to do it.
And so I've seen several people bring this up. I am taking his statement at face value, but I see a lot of people think that Stephen A. Smith is saying not necessarily all international players, but white European players. Maybe. I don't know that to be the case. But I will say, I'm just going to use one example. I'm going to use the example of Nikola Jokic. He is the best player in basketball, and he is, I don't think he's particularly close to being the face of the NBA. I think he doesn't want to.
Yeah, either.
Exactly. And that doesn't help, because that's kind of the way I felt about Mike Trout for a while. I was like, Mike Trout's the best. He doesn't really seem to care. But like, Luka feels like he could have made, he still can make that transition of being international and being the face of the game. There was a good couple of years where it felt like, especially after they won the championship and he went to go get chicken nuggets with the trophy, that Giannis had kind of transcended and become that international player who was on the cusp of being the face of the game.
You're right, but it just, since around COVID, the league has struggled a little bit with your question.
Yeah.
The league has struggled a little bit. Now, obviously, they're getting billions of dollars through 2020 to now 2025. They got the $76 billion TV contract that they wanted, to know that the league is going to thrive financially for another decade. But I think style-wise, like, I'll go to Crosstalk yesterday with Broadus. I felt like I'm not arguing that the players aren't very talented and more talented, especially if we're going to go to the 70s and 80s. I totally get that. I was kind of bringing up 2003, which is about 20-something years ago. When you watch the style of play is so different. Well, why is it so different? Is it because they're so much more talented? I'll just say it's different talents that you have. You want to play more guys that can shoot from the outside than you did back then. Obviously, like, Vlade, I think, could play in the league today and play well in his prime. But it would be a little bit different, right? Because you'd tell Vlade, hey, you got to practice some of your three-point shooting, because, yes, we know you can kind of shoot it, but we want you to do it a little bit more. I'm not saying Vlade wouldn't play in today's league and be a nice player. But the style has changed and the rules have changed so much that you can run with the basketball now. You can, you know, a step back. You can be two steps or four steps in front of the three-point line, and you can take four steps back without dribbling to get behind the three-point line to then shoot a three-pointer. So, yeah, I just think that I think for a lot of people that grew up watching basketball and watched basketball for a long time, and I've heard other people, even on other stations, talk about this, who loved other players in the league for a long time. This style of basketball is not pleasing to the eye. And it would be like if somebody analytically came into, let's say, football.
Yeah.
Because Broadus obviously knows football 1,000 times more than I do. And they said, here's the way to do football. Throw it 50 yards down the field every time you snap the ball.
Right.
And you can't do anything different.
Sure.
You can run it. You can run it every once in a while, but so few times. Just wing it down the field at least 50 yards. And you'd be like, well, that sounds fun, too. And they're like, well, analytically, that's the way to score. And that's the only way to win a game over time is to throw it 50 yards every time you see the football. Well, eventually you'd be like, what the crap is this? We're just watching guys just wing the ball as far as they can down the field. And we know that it's not going to be caught, you know, most of the time. And they're like, well, people that have these high educations ran computer programs and sure. figured out that we should throw
this
the ball
the way to go.
50 yards 70% of the time. And you're like, well, this kind of stinks as a, from a fan's perspective right. that I'm watching this. And then nobody ever punts. You're like, punting is bad. So on fourth and 10, you throw it another. Like, why not try to throw it 9 yards down the field and the guy run for 1 yard
yeah.
and get the first down? Like, nope. Analytics say throw it 50 yards down the field. Obviously, baseball has ran into a major issue with this. I think basketball has now ran into a major issue where fans of the league for a long time are going, hey, I really liked, and I'll give an example of a player today. I really liked when Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, when he was healthy, would kind of use the whole court as their offensive weapon.
Right.
Not only behind the line and only in the paint. And so I think that it's these players are awesome. And they're only doing what they're told. I've said this about baseball players. They're only doing what they're told. They're trying to swing for home runs, even though they're not a home run hitter, because they're only doing what they're told. If you told them to hit the ball the other way, to work the bases, to we're going to bunt and run, they would do it. They're talented enough to do it. And these players are talented enough to play any style you ask them to play.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I got a quick fun story for you. Evan Carter, so many people sent this to me. I guess Evan Carter on Instagram had an exchange with somebody who said, hey, I pulled one of your one-of-one rookie patch autos and sent him the picture. And he goes, what's up? And he was like, I'd be down with trading. What did you have in mind? And so the guy, the person, I don't know if it's a guy or not, would you be okay with possibly a signed jersey and a bat? I'd want to display it for the rest of my life and give it to my daughter when she's older. She's going to join softball when she's older. And Evan Carter responded, because it looks like this happened like a while ago, but it's just now kind of circulating. Okay. I can do a bat for sure. I'll have to buy a jersey to sign it for you unless you have one. Because it was in the off season. Okay. And so like, I guess he probably just doesn't have stacks of Evan Carter jerseys. I think he got an autograph hat as well.
I don't know if the rule is still the rule real quick, but you could take home one of your jerseys at the end of the year.
Is that right?
Now, maybe they changed it because they make so many different ones now. They're like, you can have one of each color.
Yeah.
That we have. Like, so you get a white, a gray, the Friday one and the baby blue Sunday one. I don't know. But back when I played, they're like, yeah, you want a jersey, a white one or a gray one or the colored one, you can have one of those to take home. If you want any other ones, you'll have to buy them from us, because I do believe they either auction them off for charity or the clubhouse guy back in the day would take all that
yeah.
and then he would sell it to, let's say, card shops
sure.
or memorabilia places and make a little extra money.
Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are the Cowboys about to start forcing more turnovers again? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
7-0 Houston. Fourth down, Stroud back. Sets and looks. Fourth down over the middle. Intercepted at the 10-yard line. Hooker caught it and then ran into Diggs and runs up the left side. And Hooker is tackled at around the 34-yard line by the center, Juice Scruggs.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. And right now, Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
So I love the definitive statements that the new coordinators for the Cowboys are making. So Matt Eberflus talked about the focus of the Cowboys defense in 2025. Quote, "We will take the ball away." Now, from 2018 through last season, even though he didn't make it all the way, Eberflus's Colts and Bears squads ranked in the top 10 in takeaways in all but one season. Obviously, we're not that far removed from Dallas leading the league in forced turnovers in back-to-back seasons. And last year, again, even though he didn't make it the whole way, the Bears were 10th in takeaways. And so, Alec, are you optimistic about the takeover, not takeover, the takeaway ability, maybe the takeover ability of the Cowboys defense next season?
That's a great NXT program right there.
That's right.
I am. And, you know, it seems like they do have the right personnel in place in terms of core guys, assuming that a Trayvon Diggs is going to be healthy at some point next season and actually play throughout most of the season, then yes, absolutely. You saw what Deron Bland was able to do in the Dan Quinn system and literally break records for his pick sixes. You've seen it with this core group of guys for years now. So I think having a guy in Matt Eberflus who does preach turnovers are a key to winning the game. And, you know, you even hear Jerry and Steven talking about it. You know, it's hard to win football games when you're negative in the turnover differential. So, you know, for a team that likes to cause chaos defensively, bringing in a guy that likes to do that too, I think Eberflus was a home run hire. Let's see if it actually works out. But on paper, I do feel good about this team's ability to turn the ball over.
Now, not to be outdone, Clayton Adams, the Cowboys offensive coordinator, has now said one of the greatest things ever. Quote, "The same thing that I want from every player on offense, and that is to create violence in the game. Be aggressive, run, hit. I think that every decision that we make schematically needs to lean that direction. So if it's a gray area, what is going to allow these guys to play more free and run and hit and be violent?" I get it. It's February. We are just a couple weeks past from a very disappointing Super Bowl outcome. We are months away from training camp, and we are decades away from the Cowboys having true success in the playoffs. But if you could just go off of words, well, that's a phrase that I like to hear.
Boo!
Are you booing?
Kevin Hagland, it's me, Tom Landry.
Oh, my God.
Looking from the hole in the roof.
You don't even have that stadium anymore.
I'm here in heaven. Kevin.
Hey, coach.
How's it going?
It's kind of weird at the moment, but good otherwise. How are you?
I died 25 years ago, and I can't believe what I'm watching here from heaven. Me and Tech Schramm are rolling over in heaven, left and right, watching this stuff. We can't cuss here in heaven, Kevin.
You can't?
We don't want to. We are in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to tell you, if you're going to be a leader at this station, Kevin, you need to get a fedora and a suit and tie.
Okay.
You're sloppy dressing. How are you going to lead? I had to lead people like Hollywood Henderson, and you had to lead Mike Bassick, and you didn't do the best job.
Man, are you sure about that, coach? I thought I did a really good job with
Kevin,
Mike Bassick.
Kevin, play along with the bit.
Okay.
And take a load off.
Oh, my God.
Kevin.
Huh?
You're talking about these cowboy coaches.
How much longer has this been?
Like they can actually do this job mm-hmm. with Jerry Jones. I like calling it the blue star when I look down and see Jerry Jones. Do you understand what I'm saying, Kevin?
We can see everything up here. Oh, okay.
And it's scary at times what's going on down there, especially with my Dallas Cowboys that I took to so many championship games.
I have a question for you real quick, coach, if you can.
Yes, Kevin Hagland down there on Earth.
For the record, I also had no idea this was going to happen. Mike Bassick has said that he does not believe people in heaven take time to watch sporting events.
Well, Kevin, I have eternity up here.
Okay.
And it's felt like eternity watching the Cowboys play for the last 25 years. I didn't have to watch them when I was on Earth after Jerry Jones fired me. I could just have a nice Sunday. But here, I just look down and I see the Cowboy games over and over and over again. And it's tiring, Kevin.
I'm very sorry, Coach Landry.
When is it going to change, Kevin?
I think he said an eternity. I don't know.
Kevin.
Yeah.
My time here on 105.3 The Fan has come to an end today.
Oh, that's a shame.
I just ask you get a fedora.
Okay.
I ask you get a coat and tie.
Okay.
And you lead the next guy who sits in this seat better than you did this guy. Because he would go off on the rails and just make crap up.
But didn't he get promoted to his dream job?
He did. How in the world did that happen, Kevin?
That is a good question. I don't know.
All right, keep talking about those Cowboys.
Okay.
I've already seen the future. It's not changing.
Why did you ask me when we would win a tie? Hey, Mike?
I met Jerry Jones. Last thing I'll say.
I thought that was...
He needs to clean it up, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go Cowboys.
Thank you very much, Coach. Oh, Mike, if you're back.
I'm back. What happened? I blacked out.
I think some pizza got sent up here, right?
Pizza!
That's tremendous. Hey.
Right when Tom left.
Mike, you just said you didn't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. I thought I heard something in my brain happening.
How long have you been working on that?
Since this morning.
Okay.
What do you think? How did it go? You wanted me to do Coach Ballsack. I decided to be the ghost of Tom Landry.
For the record, I had no idea when that was going to happen, and I had not heard any of this until in Crosstalk when Mike defiantly said that Tom Landry would make an appearance on this show. I'll see what I can do.
For our great pizza here, it says, here's the note, Mike, you're the reason I listen. The best personality and the most real ever since you started. Kyle from Allen, now in Salt Lake City.
Oh, you know what? Do you want to know where else our show is reaching today? This is from Matt, who lives in Fort Worth. But today, he's listening on the Odyssey app in Iceland. He said they have volcanic eruption watches like we have tornado watches. It's interesting yet terrifying at the same time. I don't know why I said volcanic.
It's all the letters were there.
That is
pronounced it a little bit differently.
Tomato, tomato.
I'm definitely going to try to avoid Cowboys content from here.
Do you think the voice of Tom Landry should come back one more time?
No, I never. Don't.
Never?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Hey, the Chargers are going to host a week one game in Sao Paulo. Why are you? The segment is still going. Don't ask for feedback while we're in the middle of a segment. Hey.
Concentrate, Kevin.
The Chargers are going to host a week one game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So while we continue to give information about the international games, wanted to throw that out there. Floyd Mayweather wants to buy a stake in the New York Giants. No, not some stake, but a stake in the New York Giants. And Howie Roseman has worked to trademark the phrase, I bleed for this city, after he took a beer can or beer bottle to the head during the parade.
It was a setup.
So you think it was just a marketing opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. Just like Patrick Mahomes' dad.
Oh, you know what? We're going to get to that. I feel like I did mention yesterday that I thought that was a setup. Andy Dalton signed a 2-year deal to stay with the Carolina Panthers, and the Commanders have hired as their offensive quality control coach, Jesse Madden, who is the grandson of John Madden. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, honestly, at this point, not sure. But also, is Marcus Simeon the X factor to really make this Rangers lineup go? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.